Welcome, ladies, to our Naomi's Table Bible Study. I'm Amy Spreeman. Today we are in the book of 1 Corinthians with teacher Beth Seifert. Make sure you go to naomistable.com and download the study guide to help you dig deeper. You can do these lessons on your own, with your women's church group, or gather some friends and learn together. These are some great discipleship tools. Well, let's open up our Bibles and begin today's lesson.
Well, welcome back to our study in the book of 1 Corinthians, ladies. Today we're going to be starting in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 1 through 6, and I've titled this lesson, Know Nothing Except. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age, who are doomed to pass away. Paul actively chose to know nothing among the people of Corinth except Christ and him crucified. Not a well-rehearsed oration or speech, no flashy lures or hooks to draw in a crowd, no clickbait headlines or shocking promises. Paul didn't put on a show of being invincible or having it all together or knowing everything. The preaching by believers of the cross was so prevalent around this time that the believers were accused of worshiping a dead man. Yet they knew where their true hope was at, and it wasn't in the messenger or the eloquence or flash of the message given. It was in the message, and the only message that gives hope is the cross of Christ. Paul describes himself as being with these people in weakness, with fear and much trembling. Make no mistake, Paul was not afraid of these people. Paul, remember, was not afraid to go out into the middle of the crowd that wanted to tear his arms off and share the truth of the gospel with them. This man wasn't afraid of the people or their reaction to him. No, his fear and trembling was before his master, desiring to honor God in his message, to share a saving gospel, and to give the hope to these people that would glorify God. Paul deliberately chose his words to be simple, plain, not using edumacated words and tricks. It wasn't about an appeal to the sinner to judge the truthfulness or plausibility of Paul's message. It was about the obvious power of the Spirit of God at work within the simple message of the gospel. The faith of these people in Corinth, or, well, anywhere, shouldn't rest in who gave the most convincing argument, but it should rest in the power of God. As Paul has already reminded the Corinthians, the truth is evident in their changed lives. They were new creations, truly, with new desires and new affections for the things of God, while rejecting the things of the world. That only comes from God. Someone much smarter than me, and I don't remember who right now, so you'll have to forgive me, has said that what you win them with is what you win them to. If you use tricks and gimmicks and sermon series based off the latest movies that culture is in love with to lure people into your building under the guise of creating converts, you're creating converts to movies, to gimmicks, and they will continue to expect what you have given them. You can't change it now or they will leave because they aren't converts to Christ anyway. So you have to come up with the next exciting gimmick to keep them interested. If you can argue someone into making a decision to serve God, that will only last until someone else with a more convincing argument comes and argues them out of their decision. It is not by convincing arguments that souls are won, but by the power of God's word, the truth that is proclaimed, and the work of the Holy Spirit to change hearts. All any of us can do is proclaim the truth. We aren't the Holy Spirit to change hearts, and we ourselves can only point to the power of God's word. But that's where we must point if lives are to be truly changed. Paul has a goal, and his worldview directs that. Paul knows what it is to be a super spiritual looking, while spiritually dead, religious hypocrite. Paul isn't going to do that anymore. He knows better because God has given him a new heart and a new mission. And Paul makes no apology for holding fast to the message he has been charged to share. The message is the important part. Reject the messenger, and honestly, it's no big deal. But if we reject the message, the consequences are eternal. So Paul puts the message out there. The message that Paul proclaimed and that is still saving men and women today is not one that is to be set on trial. We humans are not in a position to put forth our own judgment on God and His Word. The sinner doesn't sit as a judge, weighing the evidence put forth and then decide whether or not it's true. The sinner doesn't get to sit in judgment over God and decide that it's not fair to have sent Jesus to die on the cross. The sinner doesn't get to sit in judgment and decide that for God to be love means that God is perfectly fine with anything we want to do, and He'll just smile at our sin. No, we are the ones whose very lives are on trial, and without Jesus, our advocate, stepping forward to take the wrath and punishment that we deserve, we will be judged by the only righteous judge, and justice will be done. Justice for every human being is hell. That's justice. Yet God, in His mercy and grace, sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice to bear the wrath of God that we deserve for our sins. I still can't quite grasp that beautiful truth, but there it is. Someone else, the holy God in the flesh, took my punishment willingly, knowing what a sinner I am, knowing how much I don't deserve to be saved, yet there it is. The judge, Almighty God, looked on His own Son, and my debt was paid. And even more than that, more than just having the debt paid and being at a zero balance, when He looks at me now, He sees His Son. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. He took my sin and He gave me His righteousness. And it is through that great exchange where my sin was imputed to Him and His righteousness was imputed to me that I am justified before God. The debt is paid. My account is not just clean, but filled with righteousness that isn't even mine. And I go forth not on my own strength or in my own righteousness, but resting in Him to provide all that I need. I know that He will provide it too. You know why? Because He provided all that was needed for my salvation. If He can provide all that, then the grace to get through the day when everyone is whiny is a snap for Him. And so I rest in Him. The wisdom of this world will pass away, ladies. Our hope isn't in the wisdom of men, but in the wisdom of God, which is the foolishness of the cross. So a few questions today. Are you drawn to Christ, to the message of salvation, or to the show? Are you more impressed by the eloquence of the speaker than by the message of the cross? Are you looking to be entertained by your church and your pastor? If there are no flashing lights or thundering music, are you disappointed? If the speaker isn't hip and the message isn't relevant in the way you want it, are you irritated? What are you being drawn to, Christ and the cross, or the eloquence and the wisdom of men? There are lots of opportunities to be part of a trendy, hip, relevant, and flashy church. They're everywhere. But ask yourself, in that trendy church, are you called to repent of your sin? Do you hear the saving gospel preached, that gospel that tells you that you aren't a good person, you can't save yourself, and you are a sinner in need of a savior? Sin isn't a popular topic, so those trendy preachers aren't going to mention it if they can help it. They may talk about mistakes or messes or errors in judgment, but all they are doing is watering down the seriousness of your sin before a holy God. Ladies, if you're more interested in the packaging than in the gift of the gospel, repent. Cry out to God to help you to love the things He loves, to hate the sin you once loved, and look to the cross. That's where salvation lies, and that, far above impressive speakers, is what we need. You'll find the notes for today's study under the Bible Studies tab of the website naomistable.com, day 4, Know Nothing Except.